cool band, right?
You are 70,000th in the queue.
Yeah, let's not listen to that. Let's sort you out with some pre-sale tickets.
End of the queues this way.
Oh, and a special card member entrance. More your vibe, I reckon.
Amex card member.
Too right they are. Gigs, festivals, theatre. When you're with Amex, they're on another level. That's the powerful backing of American Express.
Example products. Preferred rewards gold credit card. Representative 88.8% APR variable. Annual fee applies after the first year. Subject to status. 18 plus. T's and C's apply.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, everybody. Hi, I'm Ronnie. And that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. Happy Monday. Happy Real Housewives of New Jersey was on last night, and it wasn't last week, but we finally get to talk about it again this weekday.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Jersey is back. I feel like it's been gone for like 2 weeks, right? Like we had July 4th. It wasn't on last weekend. I don't know what it was.
It was only 1 week that it wasn't on.
Oh, it feels like it's been like a month. So much has happened since then. I guess that's because since Jersey was last on, we've been talking about Love Island. And Love Island just makes it feel like, you know, it's been weeks and weeks and weeks since we last saw Jersey because there have been so many episodes. But by the way, if you're into Love Island, we are doing mini recaps every day. Every day until the finale or through the finale on Patreon. And they're little mini recaps, but we're also going to put them all together and release kind of like big Frankenstein episodes on the main feed. But if you want to get them fresh.
But that's a week later. Yeah. If you want them fresh, get over to Patreon.
Get over to Patreon. Love Island time is a special time of the year. I just Shazammed some music. I was at the coffee shop and I Shazammed a song, not because I liked it, but because I could envision. Like, I could envision a late night montage of Love Island of people going to sleep after they've had a fight. They've brushed their teeth and they've gone to sleep. I was like, this is where I'm at. I'm now like coming up with my own fan fiction in my head of like montages of Love Island. So it's a fun time. Everyone come on board for that. We also have Winter is Crappening happening. That'll be later this week. Also on Patreon, we have a very special annual treat that's going to be happening this week for our bonus episode. Amazon Prime Day. We love it. It's going to be happening tomorrow. So there will be an Amazon Prime Shopping Day bonus episode that we're going to do. And we're really excited for it. So everyone stay tuned for that.
That's it. You got it all in there.
I did. I got it really all in did. There. Yeah. Yeah.
Really appreciate that.
Had a smooth landing.
Great. You did a great job.
Yeah.
So Jersey is back. I need to not ever have an MV fashion show episode. I don't like it. They offend me every time they happen because they were stolen from Kim D. This was Kim D's thing. This was never Melissa Gorga's thing. And now they have tossed Kim D to the side. And now we have to look at Melissa's terrible fashion shows every season. I don't like it. Get it off my screen. How'd you feel?
I felt the same way. I don't think the Envy fashion show has any upside. Like Kim D's fashion show was always great because the fashions were ridiculous. But also there was always good drama. And Melissa takes her fashion show seriously. I think Melissa really thinks this is like a step away from Milan. Whereas Kim D is like, okay, I'm going to put some fashions up there, but more or less, I want the women to fight because the more they fight, the more elevates my shop. And Melissa doesn't have that mentality. So her shows are just not as good.
Yeah. So we open with Danielle and Nate, their house, and her kid, Valentina, is, you know, being dramatic and falling all over the place. And Danielle's like, why are you so dramatic? Where did you get it from? And they make fun of her like, ah, I got it from you, Mom. I got it from you. She smashes the glass upside Danielle's head. Yeah. I learned it from watching you, Mom.
You're going to get a heavy dose of melatonin this evening. And then we go over to the Fudo's house. They're playing with the kids, which is as interesting as that sounds. And then we go to Teresa's house, and Teresa's cooking in the kitchen. Lou's like, hey, Teresa, your ass looks so small. Your butt is so small, Tree.
And then we are, okay, then we get to Melissa and Joe pulling up for a scene with some new lady named Donna. who's Melissa's mom, I guess. Who is this Donna? I've never seen this Donna. Did they recast her? Donna comes on flirting like she's the new bombshell on Love Island. She's like, "Hi, I guess I'll have a Cosmo. I love a Cosmo. Joe, I'd love to be here at a nice, lovely dinner with a pink drink and a handsome man." I was like, who are you? And when did it become dating season for Donna?
Yeah, I kind of feel like Donna's like, this is probably going to be my daughter's last season on this show, given that she's done nothing so far. So I'm going to make the most of it, try out a new personality, get some screen time. Maybe I can get a book out of this. I'm going to throw it all out there.
She is, and good for her. You go, Donna. You know, I don't necessarily love the product you come out with, but I love you. I think you're a total sweetheart. So good luck to you. Good luck to you during mating season. I'm all for it.
She seemed loopy all episode. It made me a little concerned, actually, to be honest. Concerned that she just was, I assume, on painkillers for falling down a million times. So I'm like, someone check on Donna. Fucked up. I was like, Donna doesn't need to be checked on.
Listen, there's a certain point where you just do all the drugs. You know what I mean? Like, there comes a point in life, you don't have to go to work. You know what I mean? Drink in the morning. If you're in your 70s, you've got two dead husbands, you've got a bunch of shit has gone down, and you just need something to get through the day, have a fucking drink. And man, if you can get benzos prescribed, take those too. I mean, at some point, you just need to throw the judgment out the window and just live your goddamn life. You know what I mean? I'm all for it, Donna. You go, girl.
Yeah, I mean, she is about to turn 75. She looks great for 75. She looks great for any age. And you know what? At this point, like, enjoy it.
Do drugs.
Yeah. So they walk into this restaurant. And yeah, this is where she's like, "I'm gonna have a Cosmo here." So they're ordering stuff. I was laughing because I think this restaurant's called The Craftsman, and the waitress was like, "So guys, it's Taco Tuesday," which I was laughing. It's like Taco Tuesday at The Craftsman, and they're like, "Hey, yeah, we're not gonna do Taco Tuesday, but we will do the Asian spring rolls." I was like, "What is this restaurant? This is such a Jersey restaurant.
What was this ordering? How does Melissa stay that thin? Because this is what they ordered: crab dip." So for those of you who don't know what crab dip is, that's crab and mayonnaise and cheese. Okay, then they ordered, I don't know, what did you say? Spring roll or something?
They got a spring roll.
And then they ordered spinach and artichoke dip as well, which is another mayonnaise dip. How much mayonnaise are you guys allowed to eat over there?
Look, it was like a very Applebee's menu, which there's nothing wrong with that. It just was funny because the restaurant had like the Edison bulbs and the wood paneling. It looked very much like Brooklyn hipster 2011, right? Like there should have been like someone with a beard coming out looking like a farmer from the 20s with like plaid and like suspenders. And yet they're... It was just like Taco Tuesday, crab dip.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just cracked me up.
So they take a drink order and Donna's like, "I have a Cosmo, but I also like margaritas." Ding, ding, ding. Donna, who are you trying to bang in this restaurant? Is it the crab dip chef? Go get him, girl. So then they order, and then Melissa starts yawning on and on about her fashion show, which is, you know, sad.
She's got 17 models and 50 looks. Okay, it's not impressive to say you have 50 looks if it's just stuff you're taking from your store. If you're making 50 looks... If you're on Project Runway, 50 looks, it's like, wow, that's impressive. If you're designing 50 looks, it's like, that's an endeavor. If you're just taking 50 items off of the hangers in your dusty store, that's not impressive. That's a tag sale.
Yeah, girl, come on. And if anybody's going to be getting props for this, it's Alibaba, okay? It's AliExpress, not you. So Donna, so they talk about Donna's fall, and then... she's like, "Well, you know, my therapist says I'm doing very good." And Joe's like, "You go to a therapist? What kind of man are you? Men don't go to therapy." She's like, "Physical therapy, Joe." He's like, "Oh, thank God. Whew, thank God."
He's so alarmed.
"I'm going to call you gay or something, you know? Not that I got a problem with that, you know? I'd marry you, but, you know, I get a blowjob from you, so whatever."
So Melissa's like, "Have you ever gone to a therapist before?" She goes, "Well, I did years and years ago when your father drove me crazy." And Melissa's like, "Oh my God, mommy's like, hey, but there's a new guy. What's up with him? There he is." And she's like, "Yes, he's a very nice, nice Italian guy. His name is Cosmo and his last name is Politan. We love him."
Margie Rita, his mother comes to visit every once in a while too. So Melissa's like, so you like him? You want to keep talking to him? She's like, it's just a date, Mel. I don't want to go steady. I'm playing the fields already, okay? And she goes, okay, but Ma, you kind of got to go steady. I mean, what, do you want to be alone forever? First of all, you asshole. What kind of thing is that to say to a 75-year-old woman? And B, so what if she does? Okay, we don't all have to hide behind tiny men in fast sports cars to make ourselves feel worthy. Okay,
correct. Donna, and so Melissa
goes, drugs on your own, Donna. Drugs and masturbation. That's the life I want for you, Donna.
Well, Melissa, then Melissa tells us, you know, I feel for my mom. I feel like my mom has changed a little bit over the past year and a half. She, you know, she's just widowed for the second time in her life and it's starting to affect her. I'm like, yeah, it probably affects her when she's lost the second love, male love of her life. When her daughter says, do you want to be alone forever? Like, could you maybe like let her grieve and say like, it's actually okay, Mom. You will have a life. You will continue to have your life. Don't make her feel bad about an already tough time that she's going through.
And it's also very Melissa because, you know, we see Melissa and Joe's track record with her own family. And now they don't have Teresa to, like, shit on. So she's going to go to her mom next to throw her under the bus. Like, this whole scene was not, this was not very good for Donna. Melissa's like, yeah, my mom's older. She forgets stuff. She doesn't really know. I think, like, she's got some mental issues. And, you know, basically, we've got a shot of, you know, chloroform to give her when the time is right. It's like, Jesus, Melissa, what are you trying to peddle over here? Leave the woman alone. She's just trying to have a Cosmopolitan on TV, and you're coming on here and telling the whole world that she's fucking, what do you call that when you can't remember things? Like me right now. Like she's got Alzheimer's or whatever. Like, leave the chick alone.
So Joe is like, so how about this new guy? You gonna go live with him? And she goes, I don't want to live with him. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, and Melissa's like, he's gonna be like, wow, this one's so pretty. I've got to be with her every day. And he's like, yeah, well, I was busy every day until I met her. And then I slowed things down. You know how much more money I would have made? And she goes, the power of the pee. I guess the power of the pussy. I don't know. They're just talking about themselves.
This couple is very boring. Okay, so then we go to Marge, and she's buzzing Dolores. Okay, so Dolores is here with Dog. Okay. So Marge comes over, and they're like, hi. And Marge is like, I brought you a candle. I mean, it's just what people do right now, isn't it? Okay, why don't you tell Jackie? She can go shit all over my candle to everybody. Jackie, who I've never done anything but stood up for since the beginning of time. All right? Genesis 1:1. And then he created Marge being kind to Jackie. But go ahead.
Take a whiff of this candle. If it smells like betrayal, that makes sense because it's called a Jackie candle. Okay, great. Enjoy it. So so they sit down and everything. They enjoy some soiree, which is Margaret's beverage that she's hawking low-key on the side. And Dolores is saying that she's really happy that Margaret's willing to have a one-on-one because there's still some stuff to be hashed out over that little dust-up between Margaret and Jackie and then Dolores. There was some collateral damage that they need to sort out.
I'd rather get together and talk than be a douchebag and fight it out at a party. A child's party. A bougie child's party.
So Margaret's like, you know, I love Dolores. There's no underlying bullshit with us. Jackie tried to put something in her head. Do I think Dolores believes it? No. I think Dolores is always a little paranoid, thinking anything could be said because that's her nature. So that upsets me. And by the way, furthermore, Jackie's a fucking bitch. Just want to add that in there.
So, you know what? I saw Frank calling Joe this morning. I'm sure they were chit-chatting, you know. And she's like, yeah, you know what? I told everybody, call Joe. It's a very serious thing. This cancer, you know, it's very serious. You know, he did. Okay, let's talk about cancer. It's all petty. You know, I can yell at Joe for not wearing seafoam green when he's supposed to, not finishing the wallpaper when he's supposed to, you know, not walking close enough behind me when he's supposed to. Where's my purse, Joe? Where's my purse? You see how I fall into it every single time. But the fact is, it's better to have an alive purse carrier than a dead purse carrier. And so I've got to appreciate the coat rack that I married. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, am I crying right now? I can't believe Jackie's doing this to Joe.
Well, you know what? Petty bullshit doesn't mean anything. I felt like it really started to consume you because you haven't been yourself lately. And Margaret's like, well, you know, the whole Jackie thing has thrown me for a loop. And when she goes over to you, one of my closest friends, to shit talk, I mean, I was horrified because, yeah, well, she said horrible things about me and Paul. It was terrible. Do you know what she called me?
You said.
The S word. Oh, she said you said. Yeah. I mean, she said this, but we all know that she called me the S word, slob. So, I mean... Can you really take us seriously?
You know what? I have never, ever said one single thing about you or Paulie. Never. And this I could take to the grave. I swear I never said a bad word about you. I mean, was I upset? I was upset, you know, because the night in New York, she sent me a text and said, look who Dolores is out with, you know, and I wasn't even on Instagram. I was so devastated. I was so devastated. I could not even scroll and double tap and heart anything, okay? That was me. Heartless after New York. I couldn't even deal with it. Nunstagram, that's what I had. Nothing. Not nuns as in like sisters and habits or whatever. That would be a terrible Instagram. Like, what would you take pictures of? Crucifixes and cement rooms. Not that kind of nun. Just no, I have no Instagram.
It was terrible. It was a terrible time. I had to throw my phone away. I just went up to Lexi's face and just put my finger up and down her cheeks and double tapped every now and then so I could get the sensation of being on it. But it wasn't actually on Instagram. Poked out her eye a few times, but she said, it's okay. I'll do anything for you, Marge. That's a real friend right there.
She's still bumping into walls, but you know what? That's what I pay her to do. So here's the thing. I never would have said anything. Swear to God. Swear to Jesus. Swear to everybody. Swear to Instagram. Don't lie to Instagram. It's holy. Get me Instagram. Get me on Instagram right now. I'm just kidding right
Listen,
now.
I've never said anything about you. The only thing the one thing I did say about you, I said, you know, the only reason Dolores is going is because Paul, he loves them, and I do feel like he prefers them over me. I mean, that's all I said. There was nothing really even more that I said. Okay, well, I may have said, okay, and the other thing is that Paul always wears a shirt that's two sizes too small, but that's probably it. And then I may have said, I don't know why Dolores is even with that guy, he's disgusting, but I think that's probably all that I ever said. And then I did say, the thing is with Paul is he might as well just be a barrel with arms, because that's what he looks like, you know? Look at him, look how red-faced he is. That's all I ever said. That's it, I swear to God.
All I've ever said about Paul is that if he actually looked in real life like he does the way you put him on Instagram, he'd have his own anime show. Big deal. So what? Who cares? So she's her whole like, I never said one single thing. And then she lists all the things she said, which, you know, were numerous. But here's the thing. Basically, they explain it where she has this whole thing where they go to the reunion and she's like, Louis is literally stalking me and calling my son's work and all this. And then Dolores goes to dinner with Louis and Teresa right after. Like, what the fuck kind of friendship is that? But Marge, Dolores rode with Teresa probably to the reunion. And she's been friends with Teresa longest. And you know that that's all that matters. So she's always going to choose Teresa over you. First of all, you should know that by now. But basically, she shit talked to Jackie about that. I was like, how dare she? I thought we were friends. And now she's hanging out with Teresa. It's probably because Paulie is good friends with what's his buttons. They're probably both criminals because, you know, criminals hang out. You know where Marge probably went, and it was probably there. I'm waiting to hear the accusation that Marge accused Paul of being a criminal because he's friends with Louis, because you know that happened.
Yeah, most likely. And then Dolores is like, okay, you know what? You separated from us. You stopped calling. Paul stopped and goes, Margaret called and goes, Paul said, stop and call Margaret. And I called you and it went to voicemail like it did so many times before that. So basically they didn't talk after this reunion because of all these things. But she's like, but you know what though? I took a step back and I took a break from it, but then we fixed it. We moved on from there. That's what friends do. Jackie.
She's like, okay, are you sure that's all you said about Paul? Okay, well, one other thing I said he's got the face of a foam finger. What does that mean? You know, foam fingers, like in sports, when people put a big foam finger and they point up to the sky, that's what his face looks like. I mean, after you get through, you know, face tuning on Instagram, you really got to get better at that.
I said nothing more. Okay, well, maybe I did say one time when Paul was sitting at his desk, I said, oh my God, that brought back the Rosie O'Donnell show. That's the only thing I ever said. The only thing I ever said.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I'm Dan Taberski. In 2011, something strange began to happen at the high school in Leroy, New York.
I was like at my locker and she came up to me and she was like stuttering super bad. I'm like, stop f***ing around. She's like, I can't.
A mystery illness, bizarre symptoms, and spreading fast.
It's like doubling and tripling and it's all these girls.
With a diagnosis, the state tried to keep on the down low.
Everybody thought I was holding something back.
Well, you were holding something back intentionally.
Yeah. it's hysteria. It's all in your head. It's not physical. Oh my gosh, you're exaggerating.
Is this the largest mass hysteria since the witches of Salem? Or is it something else entirely?
Something's wrong here. Something's not right.
Leroy was the new Dateline, and everyone was trying to solve the murder.
A new limited series from Wondery and Pineapple Street Studios. Hysterical. Follow Hysterical on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Hysterical early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Divorced, beheaded, died. Divorced, beheaded, survived. We know the six wives of Henry VIII as pawns in his hunt for a son, but their lives were so much more than just being the king's wives. I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin. And we're the hosts of Wondery's podcast, Even the Royals. In each episode, we'll pull back the curtain on royal families, past and present, from all over the world to show you the darker side of what it means to be royalty.
We rarely see Henry VIII's wives in their own light, as women who used the tools available to them to hold on to power. Some women won the game, others lost, but they were all unexpected agents in their own stories.
Being a part of a royal family might seem enticing, but more often than not, it comes at the expense of everything else, like your freedom, your privacy, and sometimes even your head. Follow Even the Royals on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Go deeper and get more to the story with Wondery's top history podcasts, including American Scandal, Legacy, and Black History for Real.
So Dolores is like, okay, well, look, Marge talks a lot of shit. A lot. And then it just... It just cuts to Marge's greatest hits. It was like one of those Now albums that they sell on late night TV. They should just sell it. And just, I want to see the credits going up of like, oh my God, she can't hold on to a husband. She can't hold on to a boyfriend. She can't hold on to anything. I mean, it's like she has as much luck holding on to a boyfriend as Paulie does holding on to his original face on Instagram. I mean, where did that thing go? Anybody? Anybody?
You know what, though? Margaret, though, has been a good friend, and this isn't worth getting so crazy about. But think of what you're saying, and don't say it in front of someone who's not my friend, Margaret. So Margaret goes, listen, I'm gonna have one conversation with Jackie, and I won't let her do these things, make up stories, trash talk, fuck off, okay? I'm like, oh, sounds like it'll go well.
Sounds like it's gonna go great. So then we go to Danielle's room and they're getting ready to go to the fashion show. And so they're, you know, it's like, what do I wear, honey? And which, by the way, don't ask Nate, because obviously he's no help. Like, we've seen how you dress.
Yeah.
Now. And she's like, oh, babe, look at this outfit. Isn't that pretty? Melissa gave me this outfit. It's for Murphy. Isn't that nuts? I'm trying to figure out accessories right now. Well, I'm so excited. I get to go backstage, you know, from one fashion designer to another fashion designer. It's crazy.
I know. She is literally acting like she's going to an Armani show right now. Like, girl, you're just going to like a parade of Marshall's leftovers. I don't know. So
I can't believe I get to go to this amazing fashion show. I'm going to wear Valentina. Valentina? No, literally. Valentina, get over here. Mommy, ow!
She's like, yeah, I want to see how she does things. I joked around. I said, I want a headset. Like, Melissa, please bring out the models. It's always nice to see how other people do their things. I was like, if Melissa only had a headset, I guarantee that's not happening at this show. So, like, a headset, that's like, that's what she's aspiring for next year. So, anyway, Danielle is, she's like, you know, I have to say, she never once said, she's talking about, she's upset,
she's pissed
about
Teresa, basically, because Teresa is sticking up for Jen. And so she's trying to keep it peaceful with Teresa, but she's annoyed. And so Danielle's like, what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. And what Jen did was wrong. What I did was right, wrong. What Melissa's doing is right, right, wrong, wrong. Are you following me? Guys, let me tell you this much. Fuck my father. I'm never talking to him again. I don't even know what Danielle is saying half the time. But I have to say, as much as we rag on people on these shows, I love Danielle. Like, I really love Danielle. And I think she's such great casting. And every time she's on, I start cracking up. Do you like her?
I'd like her. I think I would like her more if there was less attention put on, like... the tacky upbringing she's giving her children. Like, her home scenes really drive me nuts. But her group scenes are great.
What do you expect? A gerbil to raise a bunny rabbit? No.
Yes, I would love that, actually. I think that'd be adorable, and it'd be on puberty in a second. It's like, this gerbil raised a bunny as if it was its own, and now they're best friends.
I'd be like, Ben, guess what? Did you see that dodo video that I sent you? About a gerbil raising a bunny?
By the way, the arc of all those videos is, and now they're best friends, and you see two different animals playing. That's all it is. It's like, have you ever imagined what would happen if like an otter and a hippopotamus became friends? Welcome to puberty.
Yeah, that's what I love. It's great. So Danielle's like, she never was said, I know you, Danielle, you would never do this, you're a good person. She never said that to me. I think that's what's upsetting me the most. You know what? That's Teresa I'm talking about. But when I did talk to Teresa after a party, I know she's your friend. You know, I'm just going to leave it alone. I don't want to talk bad about Jen. You know, I'm not going to say nothing bad about Jen. Nothing. I'm not going to say nothing to her, nothing about her, nothing around her, nothing right about her, nothing wrong about her. It's just what it is. It's fashion designers, all right? I mean, I'm a fashion design over here. I don't got time for your bullshit, you ugly piece of shit, no manners, whore face. All right? I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say it in my head only.
Has Teresa ever rode hard for anyone on this show? Like, when push comes to shove, has she ever, like, really stood up for someone that was not herself? She really has not. She has not. Anytime that one of her friends gets into some sort of shit, she goes, I'm just going to stay out of it. Bling, bling. I'm staying out of it because I don't want to be dragged into it. But then she fully expects everyone to not just stand up for her, but to flip tables, throw drinks on her behalf. So Danielle is sorely mistaken if she thought that she would ever get anything beyond a few blank stares and blinks out of Teresa.
Yeah, and also you've been here for like 5 minutes, so nobody's giving you that. So she's like, yeah, Jen's going to be there tonight, you know, and she's probably going to float in because she's the devil. And Nate's like, what if she does come? And she goes, I know you said I need to work on my face, all right? So let's work on my face. He goes, yeah, no aggressive faces, baby, all right? You got to stop with the werewolf face, all right? Don't flare your nostrils, okay? You're doing it right now. She's like, I am. Yeah, stop doing that. Whatever you're doing right now, stop doing that. It's a werewolf face.
She goes, well, by the way, I can't wait for Kidz Bop. I'm very excited for Kidz Bop. I'm like, how did we just pivot right into Kidz Bop from that? How did that happen? So it turns out the kids are going to be doing some Kidz Bop stuff, which, you know, we're all excited for. I'm sure there's going to be a video. And you think, okay, they're going to do Kidz Bop. Fine. But is Dad going to come to Kidz Bop? I'm like, oh my God. At this point, you know, she's just entrapping this father. Like, she's going to invite him to every small insignificant thing. And then when he can't come because he decides he doesn't want to take a 45-minute drive to watch the kids get frozen yogurt or something, like, hey, Dad, we're going to yogurt land. Are you going to come for the kids? Do it for the kids. Don't you want to see the kids grow up? He's like, no, I'm not going to come for yogurt land. He's like, he doesn't show up for anything. I don't want to be rejected. It happened because of my brother. It's triggering.
Yeah, and she's so confused why he doesn't show up places, but he's not showing up because you're going to embarrass him on camera, and he knows you, okay? He knows what you're going to fucking do. Also, can you have anything in your life that's not branded with the word kids?
Yeah, exactly.
Bougie kids. Straight from that to Kidz Bop. Kidz Bop. It's like if she was at that restaurant, she'd be like, you know what we're going to have? It's Taco Kids Tuesday. Can I have a taco kid?
Ma'am, we don't have taco kids.
Give me a taco kid. I will not have it if it's not branded kids.
I would also like to point out that this shoot is happening at 5 p.m. in Newark. So she wants her dad to go in rush hour traffic to Newark, of all places. I think I'm with the dad. I'm going to take a pass and send me an Instagram video. I'll see it from there.
I'm 100% with the dad and the brother for that matter.
You're with the brother. You're for as a matter of fact.
I am with everybody because Danielle just for that matter out of her life. So I think that it's a her problem, even though I really love her. Okay,
yes. I think you were looking for that matter or as a matter of fact.
For that matter, yeah. For that matter, I think is what I wanted to say. So then she tells us, you know, Danielle, Valentina signed up with an agency, and so I become friendly with the PR team Kidz of Kidz Bop, a musical group that does covers of all major songs, but for kids, song kids, radio kids, bop.
Kid Bop.
So the producer's like, well, why can't you reach out to your dad? Why does it have to go through Nate? Because Nate is the one like passing on all the information. And she's like, I admit, I'm weak. I'm not strong enough to do it myself. When my brother cut me out from his life, I think that's a feeling I will never get over. So if I come out of it, of my comfort zone and get rejected, it would destroy me for a long time. You're the one who got him out. He didn't cut you out. Of course, he can't wait for his daughter to, you know, like, what are you, like, this is the biggest load of bullshit I've ever heard, okay? No, you are just being ridiculous. Reach out to your father, and he will, I'm sure, come to whatever stupid event that you want to have.
Even though he's not. Well, I guess maybe because Nate's doing it. But also, well, you have
sick
no problem.
Last time.
You don't get nervous cutting people off. You just get nervous apologizing. You know what I mean? You need to be as bold in your apologies as you are in your victimizing, man.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
So he's like, okay, babe. Well, as soon as he lets me know, I'll let you know. I'll tell him he has a deadline of today. So he needs to let me know. Oh, Nate.
Oh, wow. Wow. Really driving a hard bargain about whether or not you're going to get to see Kids Bop. So... Nate tells us,
this lucky man gets the chance to come to the Kids Bop offices. he's missing it.
Don't miss that opportunity when Kids Bop comes a call. And so Nate says, I don't have a dad. I lost my dad a long time ago. So this is a man that became my dad. I look to him for everything, like dad stuff, you know? And when I navigate the waters with him, it's to protect her because she's my wife. I never had a wife. Now she's my wife. He's my dad. Those are my kids. That's my chair. I never had a chair. That's my chair.
That's why I eat breakfast sandwiches. I never had a breakfast sandwich, but then I had one.
That's my breakfast sandwich. That's what it is.
Pretty good. It's a good breakfast sandwich. I told that breakfast sandwich, you got a deadline. You better get in my stomach within 5 minutes or you don't get to go to Kids Bop. All right.
I tell my dad, her dad, how it is that she's not ready to be vulnerable right now. It's going to hurt too much. It hurts too much to be vulnerable. And by vulnerable, I mean... asking someone if they want to come see Kids Bop. It's not easy. I just know that one day we will be able to get over that Kids Bop bridge. And I do believe that. I'm going to make sure that I'm the one that paves the path over the bridge to Kids Bop.
So then we go to the Gramercy Lakeside Manor. Ooh! Where Melissa's having her MV fashion show. So here we go. She's like, okay, I need all the models. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I was just trying to watch Joe Gorga's head explode. Joe, you doing okay? He's like, I can't see right now.
Oh, man, stop doing the elevator game. So he goes, there she is. There she is. Ah, look, there's Melissa. She looks great. She goes, oh, Joe, look, check out my seating arrangement. See, this is where Melissa's storyline is at. Seating arrangements. Check out my seating arrangement. You're next to Dolores and Donna, and I moved a couple of people around because I don't want Jen Aiden staring at Danielle because I don't know if somebody is going to get up. See, Kim D would have them going face to face, and then if nothing even happened, she would shove a microphone in Jen Aiden's face and say, Jen, welcome to my fashion show. Would you tell the audience what you think about the bitch across the street from you? Across the alley? Across the catwalk from you, I mean?
So then Jen Aiden's FaceTiming Teresa. She's like, I'm getting ready, baby. You want to see what I'm going to wear? It's like a jumpsuit. It's going to be the first time I'm seeing Danielle since your party. What do you think of that? God, I wish I had more confidence. I would have more confidence if Bill was sitting here on the couch with his arm up and his hair all askew. But nevertheless, I'm stuck with you, baby.
And Teresa's saying,
yeah, I'm not, oh, yeah, well, Danielle is not going to be going. She has some sort of Kids Bop thing or something like that. And she's like, oh, God, I don't, good, because I don't have to see it twice in a row, baby. Wonderful. Are you excited for your thingy? She's like, oh, yeah, my podcast.
And Teresa tells us that she's going to be doing her first ever live event for Namaste, bitches. And we learn about her podcast and stuff, and Melissa Feaster and Fister or whatever, and everyone, and yada, yada, yada.
We're going to have fun talking about everything, like life, love, sex, relationships, life, dogs, windows, cats, leaves, Kids Bop.
So... So, yeah, so it's at a live show, and Teresa's saying she's a little nervous, but whatever. So now we go back to the Envy fashion show, and Melissa's talking to the models. She's like, are you guys all ready? You guys look gorgeous. do you like your pieces back? Do you want your pieces? I think it looks good. I want to see all your faces. So it's just sort of like getting everyone ready. A lot of like, you know, fashion show kind of stuff. And Melissa says, you know, so this is a fun event. This is my baby. And we've been doing this since I had babies. And now my daughter's in college. And I'm just going to start crying, everyone. Like, let's go out there. I want to show you what I have in mind. Okay. What I want is you guys to look straight ahead. Okay. And look nice. Don't wave to people in the audience. It's your moment to shine like diamonds. Okay. Does everyone feel good? I'm like, this is way too much work for basically walking Talbot's stuff down the runway.
Talbot's, that was kind of you. That was very, very nice.
You're right. That was way too kind.
So then Danielle's there. So, hey, it's me, Danielle. She goes, oh my God, you're here. Did you miss my run through? She goes, no, I was standing right here like a fucking flesh-toed disco ball in this dress you sent me. Like, what the hell? She's like, oh, hi. Hi, Nate. Are you excited? Melissa does not seem to really like Danielle, which I think is funny. I think it's funny that no one on the show really likes Danielle.
Yeah, I don't get the feeling that like people have real relationships with her. I feel like last season she was making a real effort to be with everyone, but this season is the season where she's like kind of capitalizing off of her fame. She's sending her kids into Kids Bop. She's trying to do her fashion thing, and I feel like they all are not so into her.
Yeah, I agree. And it's sad because I think she's the future. Okay. I believe that Danielle's are our future. Treat them well. But I think it's like the Staten Island thing too. Isn't that where she's from?
Yeah.
I think they just look down on that, you know? Yeah. And as a Staten Island boy for 1 year when I was 19, or 18 rather, I disapprove. Staten Island is a great place. St. George for life, bitch.
So, you know, so they're just like talking about this, this fashion show, and Melissa's like, I hope nobody comes to blows tonight. And Nate's like, we'll be cordial. We're here for your event. This is the first fashion show. I never had a fashion show before. Okay, all right, Nate, don't do that. That's a home bit. Don't do it in public, okay, Nate?
So then Marge is getting ready. She's like, oh my God, I'm wearing stuff from Envy. Could you die? Melissa's gifting us stuff. I mean, this is great. I told her I want socialite chic, okay? I want to look like I'm going to a soiree, Joe. Soiree. Pour it, Joe. Pour it.
Yeah, I told Melissa, I said, look, give me an outfit that's almost like made of iron, like armor, okay? Because I just want to wear something that represents how much I have supported Jackie on my shoulders ever since I was born, okay? Something strong.
Mm-hmm. So then Dolores is getting ready with Polly, and she's like, oh God, people get so dressed up for this. Let me tell you, this friend group needs professional help. I know that I jumped into that from fashion. They could probably use it with fashion too, but let's face it, we're in Jersey. There is no professional help. Okay. But you know, at Danielle's Bougie Kids event, Jen Fessler, Rachel got into it, and then Margaret's going to see Jackie because they haven't spoken. I don't even know what's going to become of Jen, Aiden, and Danielle. It's a mess. Thank God we're going into electricity.
Oh, well, it seems like a lot of people are sparring a little bit. Cause, well, question is, do I think any of these girls will make up? I don't know. Tonight will be very telling. I was like, tonight will not tell you anything. It will just be more of the same, I guarantee you.
So then we're back at the fashion show and people are arriving. And Melissa explains what doing this on national TV does, which is give her exposure. You know, she goes through a whole supply and demand kind of monologue.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah, because she has a whole new community, guys. Now she's in Franklin Lakes, so now she gets to show off everything that's happening in her store. So, and then she's talking, you know, it's just, yeah, she's just really giving herself a big pat on the back for hiring an event space and having people walk down a walkway with clothes on. So, and I'm not being reductive to fashion shows, I'm being reductive to the Envy fashion show.
So basically, everybody starts arriving. Marge sees Fessler, and she's like, are you going to talk to Rachel? And Fessler's like, I don't know. She's always hurt. I mean, I've done something, but I'm actually trying my best to protect a family. Marge is like, well, it's just because she feels like, you know, why does a family have to be on the defense? You know what I'm saying? Like, why is everybody attacking her fam? I'm not putting a family on the defense, though. I'm defending a family. It's enough. I've had enough.
And then Margaret is talking. Jennifer Aiden shows up, and Margaret's like, so Danielle, are you going to talk to Jennifer Aiden? She's like, no. How can we have a conversation? She's basically like a father figure at this point.
She goes, I got nothing to say to that girl, but if I did have something to say, I'd say, Jen, you're a fucking bitch. I hate everything about you. You're lower than the scum on my shoe. Honestly, I wish nothing but the worst for you. I want to wipe the floor with you Monday through Sunday night. I fucking hate you. But other than that, I got nothing to say.
Let me tell you something. Listen, Danielle. Jackie and I aren't getting along, okay? But I would never character assassinate her. And Jackie's sitting right there. She goes, yeah, but you did. You called me a pathetic loser and a fame whore. And then flashback to 3 days ago, Margaret saying, like, you're desperate for fame and popularity. And Margaret goes, well, that was only after you said that you were so much smarter and better than me that I'm down and I'm down here. And then we see the full clip, which was Jackie saying, I'm 1,000 times smarter than you.
Don't play your fucking mind games on me, okay? And Jackie's like, I never thought I was better than you, so don't talk like that. And she goes, oh, it's okay. You know what? We're not going to go for tit for tat. Don't worry about it. And Jackie's like, I don't even speak like that.
I mean, you did. You did. You didn't say better technically, but you said smarter.
You said you were smarter. So then the guys are all talking, the husbands, and they're talking because Frank lost his dog, Lolly. And so they were sad. And Frank is telling the story. And it's a sad story, of course. But I'm laughing because Frank is like, yeah, so me and Brittany, we're supposed to go to Costa Rica. Okay, Costa Rica. And we're going to go down to Costa Rica. And we didn't get to Costa Rica because the dog. We didn't get to Costa Rica. I was looking forward to Costa Rica. We didn't get to Costa Rica. But I'm looking forward to a future trip to Costa Rica.
Yeah. So the guys, no one asked about the dog, of course. They're just like, oh my god, can't wait to party, boobs. So now Rachel Fuda joins the girls, and Danielle's like, oh, excuse me, we got levitation on the hair, love that. So they talk about envy clothes, and Rachel's like, are we all in envy today?
Yes. Oh, Jackie, by the way, Jackie, did you get that from envy? It looks like shit, so I just assumed it was from Melissa Gorga's store. And Jackie's like, no, I got this at, well, no, I haven't been to Envy. She goes, oh.
My name is Georgia King, and I am thrilled to be the host of And Away We Go, a brand new travel podcast on Wondery Plus, where we'll be whisked away on immersive adventures all around the world. Where we go, what we do, what we eat, drink, and listen to will all be up to my very special guests. We've got Ben Schwartz taking us on a whirlwind trip around Disneyland. We'll eat a bowl of life-changing pasta with Jimmy O Yang in Tuscany, Italy. And how do you feel about a spot of sugaring off with Emily Hampshire in Montreal? And Away We Go will immerse you in some of the wonders of the world.
We're going to be seeing some yellows and vibrant oranges.
And the shoes clicking against the cobblestone.
If you're looking to get somebody in the mood, have them look at the Chicago skyline.
You can listen to And Away We Go exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Georgia, do you know what joy sounds like?
I think I'm hearing it right now.
Oh, because guess what? She sent us all dresses. Guess what? If you got a dress from Envy for free, raise your hand. Okay, then 1, 2, 3. Everyone's raising their hand. Oh, Jackie, what's wrong? You didn't get a dress from Envy? Oh, that's so embarrassing for you.
Oh, my God. Maybe it's because you weren't there at the slumber party when she was taking measurements. Anybody invite Jackie to that slumber party? Oh, sorry, Jackie. You know what? Maybe it was after the party when we were hanging out and having lunch in the lunchroom together. Surely you were there that day, weren't you, Jackie? No one told Jackie we were having lunch together in the lunchroom. Oh, sorry, Jackie. And Jackie's like, I don't even care. I don't even care about free clothes from Envy. I know who my real friends are.
You know what? I know where I stand. I'm good. And so she goes away. That was a full-on mean girl move from Marge, but it was also hilarious. It was so mean. Marge, oh, we all got these free outfits.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then Jackie's like, so she pulls her stuff and just goes away. She's so mad. I can't. I got to get away from them. So then Dolores and Polly arrive, and there's a bunch of people in the kitchen just eating meatballs, which is inevitable on this show. We're inevitably going to have that scene like once a week. I'm surprised we don't see it more.
Yeah. I like this. They're just all hanging out, eating the catering straight from the caterer. So then Danielle and Rachel are talking, and Danielle's like, can we do shots? Let's do shots. And they do. And then she's like, I got a burp.
You're going to be so upset.
No, Rachel's like, I have to burp. Don't be upset with me.
She's like, do it that way. I can't take it. So then Fessler is talking to Jennifer Aiden, and she's like, I got this outfit from a store called Envy. I don't know if you've heard of it.
She's, oh my God, you're so tan, baby.
And then Dolores shows up and, well, walks into the group, and she's got this purse that's like it's lighting up. And they're all like, oh my God, that's amazing. And Jackie loves it. And Dolores says, well, don't worry, I'll get you one, Jackie. And Jackie's like, you see, Dolores is good to me. I was annoyed because Margaret was like, oh, did you get this at Envy? And I was like, I haven't been to Envy. And she was like, oh, well, Melissa sent us all dresses. And Dolores is like, well, I didn't get one. She said, if you would have called me, I didn't want it, but I didn't want to push anyone to wear my stuff.
Oh, but then why does Margaret say it like that? Margaret just says it in a way to hurt me.
And Dolores is like, oh, God, Jackie is a little overdramatic. I don't know how Marge did it for so long. I just can't even.
Of course, Jennifer is, like, happy to, like, jump on the anti-Marge. Like, what?
Margaret did it just to be mean, baby. You can grab my arms, Jackie. You're safe with me and Teresa.
Yeah. Well, listen, Jackie is getting what she deserves. I feel like Marge is being pretty light. I think she's going pretty easy on her, really. She could be going scorched earth, and she's just making little shady comments here and there.
Yeah, I don't know why Jackie is so... Like, Jackie's whole new revelation about Margaret is she's a nasty, nasty lady. But it's like, if you think she's a nasty lady, why are you surprised when she comes at you in such a nasty way, you know?
Yeah, and it's okay when you're using her as a weapon. So you can't, like, suddenly start crying, you know, years later. Like, it's that being the victim. That's ridiculous. So, especially after you were the one who jumped teams and went on Jennifer Aiden's team. That doesn't even make any fucking sense. So then Dolores is like, oh, everyone's got their panties in a bunch in this group. It's almost like they're looking for something to hold on to.
So then Jackie's still like, well, my blinders are up now. And Jennifer goes,
well, maybe she was never your friend to begin with, baby.
I'm like, says Jennifer Aiden. So Dolores is like, you know what? I'm getting so upset about this whole friend group. Where the fuck are we going? Am I right? And Marcus, oh, Dolores, hi. Guess what? I didn't even see you. You were being blocked by this disgusting blob of humanity. Oh, sorry, Jackie. I didn't realize that was you.
I'm so sorry. I'm just allergic to betrayal, so my eyes are watering up. Can we just move over here so I can see? Ah, there you are. There you are.
Dolores, I didn't even see you because I've been trained to not look at non-Envy outfits at this fashion show. So unfortunately, Jackie was standing right in front of you.
Then how can you see me? I'm not wearing Envy either. Okay, I really didn't think that one through. Okay, but here's the point. Jackie's stupid. Guess.
Listen, don't poke holes in my diss.
So now you're calling me a hole picker? I'm just going to let that one
slide. She's a nasty woman. I'm telling you, Dolores, she's very nasty.
Listen, let's go talk. So Marge goes, hello, Jennifer. You holding up? And Jennifer's like, I am holding up. Yeah, I'm good. But you could have called me and checked on me. I mean, that's something you would do. You would call me. You would call me and say, Jen, how you doing, Jen? I mean, we're friends now, right? So that's what you do.
You know, you're right. I'm sorry. It wasn't right. I totally jackied that one up. I apologize.
Yeah, but you could have called me. I could have. But you could have. I could have. You're totally right. And you didn't.
I didn't.
You didn't at all.
I didn't.
Okay, well, I've been trying to yell at you, but it's not going to work. Let's hug instead. Okay, stupid, stupid girl.
You're in luck, Jennifer, because I'm in front of Jackie and I want to show that I can be reasonable to people. So you're benefiting from it. But otherwise, I'd be like, you don't deserve a phone call for the rest of your entire life, you stupid idiot. So Dolores is like, say what you will about Margaret, but right now she's acknowledging that she was wrong. It's very refreshing to see some civility. And I'm starting to see a glimpse of hope. I'm like, good luck with that, Dolores. You're on New Jersey.
So then Jennifer thanks Rachel for reaching out to her. Jennifer, you don't get to act like you are so traumatized. You started it, okay?
You did not fall off a mountainside and survive, okay? You had a plastic cup that was slammed on your cheek.
Guys, it's time for the Envy fashion show. I feel so bad for the guy who had to announce this. He's like, we are moments away from the Envy fashion show starring Melissa Gorga.
I know. Melissa tells her models, okay, everyone, let's get our model faces on. We got 5 minutes. I'm like, are there model faces in this group? I'm not totally sure. So
those are some Tonka truck faces if I've ever seen them.
Tonka truck. Yeah. So everyone takes their seats and everything, and the models are coming out and everything, and Jennifer and Marge are sitting across from each other, but they're being nicey-nice. They're sort of being funny. The fashion show happens. It's just like totally unremarkable clothing being paraded down the catwalk.
How come people spray their feet with hairspray?
I assume it was like anti-slip stuff.
Oh.
I don't know. Okay. I have no idea. Or it could just be like in Jersey, if there's any excuse to use hairspray, you just use it.
They're just like, guys, we don't want the ozone layer to get away with this, okay? We're ruining this fucker, okay? Trying to keep us from the sun.
So Jennifer Aiden is hilarious during this. Is it for grip?
By the way.
Yeah, it's for grip. Get a grip.
Thanks, Internet.
Jennifer Aiden is absolutely hilarious in this because she's basically saying what we're all wondering. She's very loudly during the fashion show going,
so these clothes are from Envy, right? She didn't design them, right? She didn't design this. Can you hear me? Melissa Gorga did not design any of these clothes, baby.
Her friend's like, no, they're from Envy, but she didn't.
So she didn't design them?
No, she didn't design them. So she's like, I don't understand this concept of having a fashion show with clothes without your fashion. It just doesn't make any sense. But I did notice she doesn't have any male models this time, probably because the alleged cheating happened with a male model, baby.
Then we see some flashbacks of that, and she goes, you know, keep it all female, baby, and dodge a bullet. Smart move, baby. And she's just smiling so big. She has this shit-eating grin on her face, just loving, resurfacing the rumors yet again.
Which, by the way, she was blaming Marge for bringing up in the first place. But Jennifer is just doing it again, bringing it up as many times as she possibly can. Does Envy sell men's clothes? I forgot about that.
I don't know. But I don't know what Envy really does. But what I do think is funny is that, like, I could imagine a promotional fashion show where you say, hey, this is the stuff that I'm doing, that I'm selling in my store. Check it out. If this looks good to you, we're selling it. Here's a sale. Da, 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 da. But then at the end of the fashion show, Melissa comes out and takes a bow. She literally bows. Like, you do not design this clothing. You do not take a bow because you organized something like an event, you know? Like, it just doesn't work that way.
Wow, this store is not cheap. I'm looking at it right now. I don't think I've ever been to Envy by Melissa Gorga. She's got a rain dress. It's a flower dress. It's pretty. It's $495.
Wow, inflation, am I right?
That is crazy. Then she's got a fringe top with like see-through short sleeves. It's like hideous. It's hideous. $231. What the hell?
Yeah, this is expensive.
That's crazy. Costs a lot of money to look this cheap. Okay, so then they're talking after the show, and Dolores is like, wow, I didn't think it was possible, but everybody put their bullshit aside and came together for Melissa. We're taking baby steps.
Are we? And Buster's like, best fucking show ever. Oh. So, well, yeah, of course it seems like the best fucking show ever, because the last thing you went to was Bougie Kids, probably. So now we have Teresa and Louie pulling up to a digital marquee with the words,
Namaste, bitches, live show featuring Teresa Giudice with the Melissa Feast of Experiences.
So they're arriving at the venue for their live podcast show.
So I listened to this when this first came out, and this Melissa Feaster lady just basically cheers Teresa on the whole time, which I guess that's what you would expect, right? But Teresa saying, hi, I'm Teresa. She goes, you sure are, Teresa, the most amazing woman I've ever known in my life. Am I right, audience? There's no audience here, but still, just imagine people clapping. Imagine my applause times 100, Teresa. Imagine that.
Okay, well, that's Melissa. She's the non-bitch version of the other Melissa.
You are so right. That woman is just so horrible to you, Teresa. Teresa, how do you deal with it? You are an amazing. You know, this morning I had a bagel. You are tastier. You are tastier than that bagel, Teresa. You are perfection. You are fucking perfection.
It's like having a podcast with QVC.
But now they don't even speak. Something happened.
Something happened?
Supposedly with Louie. Like, Louie treated her like garbage.
Wait a second.
I don't know if that's true. But hopefully we find out on the show what happened, because it's not good. They do not speak anymore.
That's outrageous. I cannot believe someone that Teresa was close to no longer speaks to her anymore. That's just, no. That woman, when she makes a friend, she keeps a friend. Okay. So I don't believe any of these lies.
Yeah. They're talking about how they can't keep their hands off each other. And Melissa was a fan. So they met each other at some kind of book signing or something, that some event Teresa was doing, and then became friends. So Teresa picks a fan to do her dirty work, and it ends poorly.
I was going to say, it's the old book signing to Real Housewives pipeline on this show.
Yeah. Really.
It really happens a lot. I mean, isn't that where Jackie first surfaced, right? There's that famous photo of Jackie taking a photo with Teresa.
Barnes & Noble is like the central casting of Real Housewives of New Jersey, for sure.
Okay, so they're doing a sound check and everything. They're doing it. And meanwhile, elsewhere in Newark, New Jersey, Danielle and her kids.
Sorry, ma'am, just about that sound check. I'm your mic person. I just wanted you to know it sounded screechy and uneducated. Is that what you were going for? Okay, perfect. Places.
You know what actually drove me nuts about that setup that they had on stage? So there were two chairs, two sort of like club chairs kind of facing each other at like a 3/4 angle, two microphones on an arm. But the microphone arms were in front of the chairs, so basically between basically Teresa and the audience. Wouldn't you have set up the microphones to be on the other side, so that way they come from behind? Ronnie, don't you agree?
Behind you? From behind you?
Like, why have the arm, so the arm going across her face to the audience, why not have the microphones coming from her other side? Like,
maybe the table was too long, because like I bought a microphone arm that I can't use because the table's long, and so the microphone is all the way to the left.
Like, but it's not on a table though. It was a floor mounted arm. So I'm like, why don't you put it on the other side, so that way it's not blocking the view from the audience. It's just driving me nuts the whole time. I'm sure there's a logical answer.
Well, maybe Teresa learned that if you position your mic a certain way, it can block your waddle. Because that's what I'm having a problem with in this podcast, is in my Texas setup, I have this big microphone that goes right below my chin. And I didn't even know I had a waddle. And then I started...
You don't have a waddle.
Like, I do. It's okay. It's nature. And now I see it all the time. So I'm constantly playing with it because I don't have something to block it. So maybe she realized the magic microphone waddle blocker.
I'm sure that's exactly the logic. So anyway, over in Newark, New Jersey, the it's basically the kids bop version of Bollywood. We are in it's time to shoot this music video, and so this lady Jackie, her name is Jackie/Maddie. She's the kids bop rep. She's talking about the theme for the video is that like there's gonna be an office. And the kids are going to come running in and take over. And they're going to be like, yeah, kids run the office now. So so they're going to be doing this. But the real issue is, where's Dad? Is Dad going to come?
Where is Dad? Dad has another excuse. And this time it says his girlfriend had to get eyelid surgery and still hasn't recovered properly. And Danielle's like, excuses. Excuse me, that is actually legit. And you should support your new mother's eyelid surgery.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, she's like, it sucks, you know, I wanted to see him, but I wanted him to have part of these things, but I just think that there's always something that's gotta come up. I'm like, he was sick and now his wife has had complications from surgery. I don't think that's like something came up. Sorry, he can't make it to Kids Bop during rush hour in Newark.
Yeah. And so they have a kids bop scene, and you know, it's as awkward as you'd think it would. The whole theme is like, wow, kids run the office. Like, kids go to work and pretend that they own everything and they know what they're doing. I'm like, we already see Danielle's storyline of her trying to pretend she's a fashion designer. Can we not?
I know.
It's like Danielle's bop. Like, we've seen it.
Danielle bop is definitely happening this season. So now people are showing up at Teresa's event. Jackie shows up, and they hug her big time, and Fessler too. All the friends ofs that they're courting to the side. So, I mean, it really is just like House of the Dragons. Like, we're going to talk about that next on our podcast. And, like, the parallels are really strong on this show.
So Jennifer and Teresa, Jackie are all talking, and Teresa's like, I got nothing to say to Margaret, all right? Because, like, it's just like what Louis asks, right? Because there's, like, a court case going on. So, like, you know, like, there's, like, a lot of stuff about Louis, like, including about people, like, within our circles. So, like, I can't talk about it because it's, like, a legalized, like, lawsuit of, like, law. But, like, you know, you get it, right?
Yeah.
Well, you guys will know when the time is right. You guys will know about it.
So Dolores walks in. She goes, I feel like I'm in a church.
She's like, yeah, it's a cathedral because I'm bringing back God into my life because I was mad at God because I went to jail.
And Pastor's like, well, if Teresa can forgive God, then maybe we can all find a way to forgive.
You're mad at God that you went to jail. How do you think God feels, you fucker?
God's mad at himself that he created you.
And I love that she's like, yeah, I'm in a cathedral because I'm making up with God. So that's why I'm coming into a church and doing what God loves, making profit inside of a church. Like, so do these people even have Bibles? Like, come on, even I know this. And then Jennifer's like, yeah, here we are in a church. I fucking love fucking motherfucking church, goddammit. Yeah, baby.
So they go to take their seats and everything, and they're all sitting on these folding chairs and everything. Dorinda shows up, which is a great surprise. Like, I'm here. Okay, we got to see Aretha Franklin before my lover. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means, lasagna. God, great song. Great song.
Okay, you know, here I am. You know, the rumor is that these girls were supposed to come to Bluestone Manor for their vacation this year.
All right. Oh, yeah. That was the rumor. I forgot about that rumor. What happened to that rumor?
It died. So then Dorinda, they make small talk about Polly and all that good stuff. And then Jen, you know, whatever. Who cares? Everybody gets there. Danielle comes and it's like, dun, dun, dun. And Jen's like, I can't believe Danielle's here. Hold on. Let's go sit right by Danielle so I can say that again. I can't believe Danielle's here.
Yeah, and so Danielle says the Kids Bop ended earlier than they expected, so they booked it down to pretty much Atlantic City. And so Jennifer Aiden's just like talking to this lady, and she's like,
she was pretty hostile, in my face, aggressive. After I tried to walk away, baby, I was very calm. She was very angry about something I said. I mean, just you can't, seems like you can't even accuse anyone of stealing from charity these days without eliciting a bad reaction. So she just kept asking me what was wrong with why to say that.
And Danielle hears her and passes by. She goes, disgusted. So fucking disgusted. She's
like, yeah, but Danielle was like, you motherfucker. And I said, you want to get paid? And she goes, you motherfucker. And fuck, fuck, fuck it, and fuck, fuck, motherfucker.
These people are like, I'm so glad we're in a church.
I know.
Then they just start dropping the F-bomb. And then, you know, like Gary Jannetty pointed out on Watch What Happens Last Night. He's like, I love that Teresa has a huge event in a church to highlight how much she's not ever going to forgive anybody.
Exactly. Right. And in fact, and this is also a podcast episode about finding peace. By the way, could this live show look any more dull? It's like,
hi. Today's episode is about finding my peace and journaling. So you guys want to hear my journal? Okay, here's my journal. Dear diary, what's going on? Why am I talking to you? Why didn't you have my back, diary? We know when my brother was saying those things. Where were you, diary? Signed, Teresa.
Dear diaries, I always believed in its family. I love daughters. Daughters are family. Dogs are like family, but not like daughters. So who's family more, daughters or dogs? How do you spell cumin? Is it cumin or cumin? Why do people say I'm cumin if they're not pouring cumin on you instead of sperms? Why? I don't get it. Thank you, diary. Don't ever call me again, you dumb bitch. Just kidding, it's family. Don't open ever again, you dumb bitch.
Okay, audience, we're going to take a 10-minute break, and then you can ask questions to my diary. Bye.
Teresa's journal. God help us. Oh, my God.
Oh, madam.
So then they go backstage, and Dolores like, you know what? You did great. The way you read every other word in your journal, that was wonderful. I loved that, being able to piece together the thoughts in your head. It was fascinating.
It was amazing. The part where you got to mustard, ketchup, potato.
Yeah, because that's what a french fry's made out of, right?
The part when you started to recite Goodnight Moon, oh, beautiful. I don't know why you wrote that in your journal, but I knew it meant something to you at that moment. So Danielle's like, yeah, we were really excited to come here for you. They're all just like thanking her. They're like, oh my God, you did such a good job, et cetera, et cetera. And Teresa's like, yeah, thank you guys. You know, we figured we'd have it here in a cathedral because I brought God back into my life now. So maybe this will bring good vibes. And then Danielle goes, yeah, well, I'm shocked this place didn't burn down with your ass in it, Jennifer.
It's like, very nice, Danielle. Show your true colors.
And Danielle goes, you showed your true colors. And Dolores is like, so anyway, on that note, listen, Teresa wrote things down on paper. All right, let's all celebrate that. And Teresa's like, I love yous and I want to fix yous guys. And Jennifer's like, there's some things you just can't fix, okay?
You have certain relationships in your life you can't fix, right? Right, Teresa, right?
She's like,
bling, bling, bling. I don't get it.
So Jennifer's like, you know what? Teresa goes, I know, but you know, this right here, it's all still fresh.
Yeah, well, she's keeping it fresher, baby. It's a fresh, she is fresh, fresh, not exciting.
If there's one person in this room I'd rather die for, it's Teresa. And I can't believe she's not the same way with me.
Teresa is more famous than you. You're ride or die because Teresa is the center of this show, okay? And you're not the center of this show. Stop acting like it's equal.
So Dolores is like, by the way, Teresa, don't you have to get back to the people up there? They've been waiting for three hours, okay? So he's like, yeah, I got to do a Q&A. So they're like, okay, let's go do that. So Danielle gets up to walk out for the Q&A, and then Jennifer's sitting right by the door, and Danielle just turns to Jennifer and goes, by the way, you look like shit.
She goes, you do, you fucking clown.
And they're like, what did she say?
She just said you look like shit, by the way. And all you guys just sat there. You think I'm going to make up with that trash box? I can't believe she said that, baby.
Well, you sat there silent, then don't talk to her like that then.
And Dolores is like, come on, you're not a victim. She's like,
come on, Dolores.
Oh, come on, but go ahead, pull a hair out of her head then. She goes,
that was not nice. And then she was trying to say, let me make up with her, so I'm not yelling at her. I'm just saying, Teresa, you just can't make me make up with somebody. She's like, all right, I won't make you make up with nobody's no more's dance. All right.
She's a fucking clown. She looked like a fucking clown. She was sparkling like a fucking clown. Like a classic sparkling clown.
Sparkling like a fucking clown.
Clown sparkler.
So Dolores is like, Jen, you're a tough girl. Surely you can handle it. She's like,
oh yeah, obviously I'm not handling it because I just want to pop that bitch.
Okay, well there you go.
And that's where it ended. That's where it ended.
Yeah, so, you know, I think there's only like two more episodes left of this.
Get out. No way. That.
Yeah.
No, so no vacation. It's just that bad. They're not even having
that's
a vacation.
It. No vacation. It's just up to 12 episodes, and that's it. And then they're going to do some weird thing for the reunion, whatever they did for that.
Well, they got to have this big fight at Rails. Yeah, because there was no mid-season trailer. Wow, this season's a mess. But yet, I feel like it's a very functional mess. Like, I'm enjoying it. It's like
a good season.
It's a good season, but for something that has so much dysfunction backstage or off camera, I'm surprised that it's actually as coherent as it is.
Yeah, I think it's a super fun season. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But people are going to be getting fired. Some heads are going to be rolling.
Yeah, that is for sure. Wow.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks so much for being here. If you want some Love Island coverage, go over to Patreon. That's where we're doing that. And thanks for being with us on Crappens On Demand and all that good stuff through Patreon. We love doing these videos. And we will talk to you guys next time.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. We want to hang with Liz Lang. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches.
bitches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.